And if we could choose a text out of this portion of Scripture, we would choose verse 46. Verse 46, we read, "And Jesus said, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." The incident involving this poor, unnamed woman is recorded in the first three Gospels. And a careful study of all three narratives will reveal some interesting thoughts and truths. If we take, for example, Matthew's record of the incident, we see that Matthew concentrates and focuses upon the woman's thoughts, what she thought within herself, Matthew 9, verses 20 to 22. And then when we study Mark's account of this incident, he seems to concentrate more upon the woman's trials over the years of her affliction. Mark chapter 5, verses 25 to 34. Now when we come to Luke's account, we find that he has a great deal to say about the woman's touch and how she touched the hem of the Savior's garment. So in all three narratives, we have focus placed upon her thoughts and upon her trials, and then finally upon her touch. The touch through which healing was brought to her body. Of course, what all of the evangelists tell us, what is common to them all, is that Jesus Christ was the one who did the healing. Indeed, we see that our wonderful Lord put forth His power on three different occasions in this chapter and in three different ways. First of all, He used His divine power to cast out the demons that had possessed the demoniac of Gadara. Luke 8, verse 35. And then He used that same power to cure this woman of her disease. Verse 48. And then He went on from curing the woman to the house of Jairus, where He put forth His power in a wonderful way that He raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. Verses 54 and 55. Now look at the power of Christ as it was used all in one day. That power defeated the demons in the life of Legion. That power was also used to bring deliverance to this woman who had this disease. And that power was also put forth in defeating death in the house of Jairus when he raised his daughter from the dead. His power over demons, over disease, and over death. And you know something? That power is still the same today. It has not weakened, it has not lessened, it has not diminished in any way. The power of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's still defeating demons of hell. He's still delivering from disease, the disease of sin. And he's still raising dead souls to life in himself. It is no secret, you see, what God can do. What he has done for others, he'll do for you. Indeed, with arms wide open, he'll pardon you, for it is no secret. It is no secret what God can do. You know something? The words of that song or hymn were written by a man who was given to a life of drunkenness. And one day he got saved at an evangelistic campaign. This particular man had appeared in a few movies. And he got to know John Wayne. And John Wayne had heard about this man's salvation. And John Wayne spoke to him about his salvation. And John Wayne said, "Well, I guess it's no secret what God can do." And the man went home and he penned those words. It is no secret what God can do. And you know something? He's still transforming lives by his mighty power. And I trust that today we will see a changed by the power of Jesus Christ, even as he changed the life of the woman spoken of here in this passage of Scripture. I want us first of all to consider the woman and her condition. During the Lord's ministry, the dear Savior met with all kinds of people, with all kinds of problems, and all kinds of ailments. Every day, men and women were brought to him in their pain and in their poverty and in their many pitiful conditions. There were the lepers. There were the halt and the maimed and the blind and the deaf and the dumb and the dying. And they were all brought to Christ. And every soul who came to Christ, or every individual who was brought to Christ, he healed them, everyone. He never turned anyone away. Neither did anyone go away from the Lord disappointed. And as we look at this woman and her condition, we see that her condition is described. A very brief description is given of this woman's condition, but enough to tell us that she suffered a terrible affliction. In verse 43, "And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any." Now regarding this description of this woman's condition, I want you to notice the time. There's a time period mentioned here. We're told that she had this affliction for 12 years. In John chapter 5, we read about the man at the pool of Bethesda, and his affliction lasted 38 years. 12 years is certainly long enough. 12 years had passed from the time her affliction began. 12 years of misery. 12 years of medical bills. 12 years living with this malady. But wait. We read there in verse 43 that she had this affliction 12 years. But look at the previous verse. For in verse 42, we read about Jairus coming to the Lord And we're told, for he had one only daughter about 12 years of age. So the time period is the same. And so you have Jairus and his wife who enjoyed 12 years of happiness with her one only daughter. But at the end of that 12-year period, that little girl passed away. 12 years, at the end of which Jairus' daughter died. And that 12th year marked the sorrow and the suffering that no doubt Jairus and his wife experienced. But then you take this woman, and she lived with this condition for 12 years. Now you might say, well, which was worse? Which would you choose? Some might say, well, the woman's condition was worse. She had it for 12 years. Some might say, well, Jairus, his affliction was worse. After all, he had lost his only daughter after 12 years. It is hard to choose between the two and say one was worse than the other. Because you see, for Jairus and his wife, what had happened to their daughter was personal to them. And what was wrong with this woman was personal to her. And as far as the woman was concerned, perhaps she would have said, well, I have lived with this condition for 12 years. At least you had 12 years of happiness. You may be suffering sorrow now. It's hard to say which was the greater or the smaller problem. But the fact is that both came to Christ. Whether you regard one's problem to be worse than the other, they both came to the Lord. And dear friend, today, whether your problems are seen to be small or great in the eyes of others, because others may say, oh, well, you don't know what I'm going through. I know a little something about what you're suffering, but you don't know what I'm suffering. So whether your problems are small or great in the eyes of others, there's only one place that you can go to have your problem solved. And that's to the feet of Jesus Christ. Only one place. Elisha A. Hoffman put it this way, it was down at the feet of Jesus where I brought my guilt and sin, that he cancelled all my transgressions and gave me peace within. Yes, it was down at the feet of Christ. Wouldn't that be wonderful if salvation entered into your soul today? As her condition here is described, we have noticed the time, but notice also the terms. That is, the terms that are used in Scripture to describe this woman's condition. Matthew 9 and verse 20 describes it as a disease. Mark in chapter 5 verse 29 describes it as that plague. And then there is a chapter in Leviticus which states that according to the ceremonial law, this woman condition rendered her unclean. the word that's used. Now these are all unflattering terms to describe this woman's physical condition. And yet, disease, plague, unclean. All this, these terms are used to describe man's natural state before God. Man is diseased, sin. Man lives with the plague of sin. And man's sin, no matter what anybody says, man's sin is unclean. And as this woman found that there is no remedy for such a condition except in Jesus Christ and His cleansing blood, so sinners had better realize there is no remedy outside of Christ for the plague of sin, for the disease of sin, for the uncleanness of sin. Christ is the answer. As Horatius Bonner put it, no other work save thine. No meaner blood will do. No strength save that which is divine can bear me safely through. Thy work alone, my Saviour, can ease this weight of sin. Thy blood alone, O Lamb of God, can give me peace within. You'll not find that peace anywhere in this world except you find it in the peace-speaking blood of Jesus Christ. So her condition is described. We see also that her condition was desperate. When we meet someone whom we know has been ill and we talk to them and ask them how they're keeping, they say, well, haven't been too well for some time, but I feel better now. And we may ask them, well, when did you take ill? They may say, well, it was a month ago. They say, well, it was 2 months ago. We say, well, that's terrible. That's a long time to be ill, but I'm glad you're now recovered. I'm glad you're now feeling better. But for this woman, after 12 years, not 12 months, not 12 days, this woman suffered with this disease for 12 years. And at the end of 12 years, she could not tell anybody, I'm feeling better now. She couldn't say to anyone, well, I'm much improved. No, there was no happy ending to this woman's story. And she was desperate for a cure. Someone who could help her. Someone who could heal her. Her desperation is seen in the fact that she spent all her living on physicians. Neither could be healed of any. She spent all her living. This reminds us of the words we have in Job 2 and verse 4. All that a man hath will he give for his life. all that a man hath will he give for his life. And this dear woman gave all that she had. She spent everything she had. She had another shekel in her purse. It was all gone. Still, she was ill. And this dear woman, as well as being plague-stricken, now she was poverty-stricken. No hope of a cure, no help for her condition, no healing for her complaint. She had done all that she could do, as did the physicians. But at the end of it all, she was left with no hope. That can be depressing. If you're ill, and you've been to all the specialists, you've had all the tests, you've had the MRIs, you've had the exams, the x-rays, and the doctor tells you at the end of it all, there's nothing I can do for you. That's depressing. You wonder how you're going to live the next day and face the next day, face the next 12 years. So it was with this woman. Her condition was desperate until Jesus came upon the scene. The Lord Jesus came upon the scene. Jesus, the great physician. Jesus Christ, the balm of Gilead. Jesus Christ, the great healer. In an instant, rescued this woman from a life of despair and misery. Isn't he a wonderful Savior? Isn't he a wonderful person? And indeed, all who are still living, carrying the burden of sin, living with the disease and the plague and the uncleanness of sin, there's hope alone in Jesus Christ. There's no cure, you see, for your complaint. There's no cure for sin. None. Except in Christ. There's no cure for your complaint. There's no cure for that sin that will take you into a lost eternity. There's only one person can remove that disease, that plague, and can wash away your uncleanness. That person is Christ. You know, we're told here that this woman spent all her living, everything she had, on physicians. But at the end of it all, she was no better. In fact, we are told by Mark that she suffered at the hands of the physicians. That gives me the thought that they just took the money off her, knowing they couldn't do anything for her, but they took the money anyway. She suffered at their hands. But you know, whenever she came to Christ that day and was healed by Christ, you know something? Cost her nothing. It was free. It didn't cost her a thing. The Lord Jesus healed her for nothing. And it reminds us of the words of Isaiah 55 and verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat, Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. That's what you do. That's what the woman did. She had no money, but she came to Christ anyway. She didn't come to the Lord Jesus expecting to have to pay. No, this physician was different from all other physicians she'd met. She came to the Lord Jesus empty-handed, with an empty purse and an empty heart. But the Lord Jesus filled her heart with joy. And he's still in the same business today. Still doing the same thing today. And for dear, desperate souls who are laboring under a great burden of sin, Lord Jesus Christ is still the answer, as he was in the days of this woman. Her condition described. Her condition was desperate. You notice something else? Her condition was deteriorating. We're told that she spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. Nobody had the answer. But Mark tells us something even more depressing about this dear woman. Mark tells us in his chapter 5 and verse 26 that she had suffered many things of many physicians. There it is. She suffered many things at the hands of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered. But it doesn't stop there. And was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. Her condition is deteriorating. She was getting worse. Whenever we are ill, we're looking for that day to feel a little better. When we're suffering pains, we're waiting for the day when the pains will go away. When we have that nausea feeling in our stomach, we're waiting for the day when we can go back to eating our food again. We're going to hospital. An operation is performed. We're looking forward to the day when we get out of hospital and return home. But there was no glimmer of hope for this dear woman. She wasn't even holding her own. She was getting worse and worse. And each year was worse than the year before. Let me ask you today, are you a worse sinner today than you were the day you were born? We're all born in sin. We're all born as sinners. We're all born with sin. We came into the world as a sinner. But how many sins have been added to your account since then? And there they are, down to your account. And when the books are opened on the great judgment day, it'll all be there. And every man will be judged according to those things that are written in the books. So they're all there. Perhaps you've done your best in this life. You've lived your best. You've tried your best to find acceptance with the Lord. But no matter what you've done in an attempt to make yourself better in the eyes of God, the Bible tells us you're worse. Nothing bettered. But rather grew worse. Worse is the word. Worse is the operative word. For the word
sins.
Words can be used to describe your sins. They're worse now than they were before. Your condition is worse. The state of your soul is worse. And one day you must meet God. Again, there's only one remedy. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all your guilty stains. We press on quickly. We then come then to the woman and her cleansing. We are told how it all came about, how this woman was cleansed of this plague, this disease. First of all, we are told that she heard about Christ. She heard about him. Mark 5 and verse 27, we have these words. And when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind him and touched his garment. When she heard of Jesus, she came. Now we could ask ourselves, now, what was it that she heard about the Lord Jesus? Well, if you go back in Luke's Gospel to chapter 6, we don't have to go too far back. Luke chapter 6 and verse 18. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all. Well, isn't that what the woman did? She touched the Lord. She touched the hem of his garment. She had heard that the people, the multitudes who even touched the Savior were healed. Those who touched the Savior, virtue went out of him. And they were healed. And here's this woman, and that's what she heard. And she says, well, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to touch the Savior. And I'm going to trust that he will heal me. The word virtue is the word power. Power went out of him. And so the woman had heard about the power of the Lord Jesus. He had power to heal. He had power to save. He had power to deliver. Now I'm sure that we all come from a gospel background, from a church background. We have all heard, like the woman, about Jesus. And we have all heard about his power. We have all heard about his gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. We have all heard about Jesus Christ himself declared to be the Son of God with power. And I'm sure you've heard that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. And without a doubt, you've heard about the power of his blood. How often have you sung those words, there's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Yes, there's power. Power, sin-destroying power in the precious blood of the Lamb. That's what she heard. And she heard that others had touched him, and virtue had gone out of him, or power had gone out of him, and they were healed. She asked, what am I going to do? Oh, that sinners today would do the same thing. If you were dying of cancer, and you were told about a medication, that if you purchase that medication and follow the directions and take that medication, you'll be cured of your disease, I think you would go and get it. You would spend a few dollars to get that medication. Because you've been told it'll heal you off your awful disease. Well, now you have the disease of sin. The plague of sin. And here's a physician who has the power to heal you from all your sin. Why would you pass him by? Why would you ignore him? When there's power to remove that those dreadful, deep, dyed and dark sins from your soul, Christ has the power. She not only heard about Christ, but we're told she hurried to Christ. Remember, the Master was on his way to the house of Jairus. He was walking along the street. He was walking along the road. He was merely passing by that way. He wasn't holding an open-air meeting. He didn't have a pulpit and was preaching to the multitudes. No, he was passing by on his way to the house of Jairus. And here's this woman, she had heard about the Lord Jesus, she had heard that he had power to heal, and the Lord, behold, was walking by her at that time, on that day, and we're told that she came to him. She hurried to him. Notice, it says she came behind him. Because she knew that ceremonially she was unclean. And so she came to the Lord Jesus in her uncleanness. You see, that's the way the Lord wants people to come to him. In the uncleanness of their sin. In the uncleanness of their plague. In the uncleanness of their disease of sin. That's how we are to go to Christ. That's how we are to come to Christ, in our uncleanness. You don't try and make yourself better before you come. You don't try and improve things. Say, I'm going to give this up, I'm going to give that up, I'm going to try and clean up my life. No, no, you come just as you are. And that's what this woman did. And she hastened to the Lord. Because, you see, the Lord may not pass by that way again. She may never see the Lord again. He was busy ministering to multitudes of people. And so as the Lord was passing by, she hurried to Christ. Do you know something? Whenever the gospel of Christ is preached, it means the Lord Jesus is passing by. He is. He's being presented to men and women. You know what I would advise you to do if you're laboring under the burden of sin, the plague of sin, and you've never been to the cross? I would advise you today, since Jesus is passing this way, that you hurry to Christ. He may not pass your way again. And then I noticed that she was healed by Christ. We're told that she came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately she was healed. Immediately. That's what the Lord does in salvation. It's not something you grow into. The Lord didn't give this woman directions or medication and say, you take this here or do this here and you'll be better in a few days. No, she was healed immediately. Salvation comes to us immediately. Being born again. One moment you're still in your sin, next moment you're in Christ. Happens as quickly as that, immediately. The Lord Jesus regarded this touching of his garment as a great act of faith on the part of the woman. For verse 48, the Lord said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. But there's something here we ought not to miss. We're told this woman came behind him, verse 44, and touched the border of his garment. Now you read through those verses, 44 to 47, and you will come across the word touch or touched 5 times. And so we see that Luke emphasizes the fact that this woman touched the border of his garment. 5 in the Bible is the number of grace. How was this woman healed? By grace. By the grace of the Lord Jesus. She touched his garment and the Lord said, thy faith has made thee whole. Isn't that what it is? Isn't that how we're saved? For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. No, we're saved by grace alone. This is all my plea. Jesus died for sinful men. And praise God, there are many here today who can say, Jesus died for me. Isn't grace a wonderful thing? If it were not for the grace of God and Christ Jesus, that woman would have lived with that complaint the rest of her days. If it's not for the grace of God and Christ, many of us here would be on the road to a lost eternity. Finally, you have the woman and her confession. It's interesting that we're told that she touched the hem of his garment. And the ladies can verify this. Any who does a bit of dressmaking, the hem is the last part of the dress to be made. It's the finishing touch. And what part of the Lord's garment did this woman touch? She touched the hem. The finishing touch of his garment would speak to us of the finished work of Christ. That's how we're saved. Through the finished work of Christ. You have her confession then. That day she made her way to the Savior. It was a life-changing day. And you look at the person. It's always interesting to take time and read through these incidents. Read them over and over and over again. A young man was beginning his studies. for the ministry, and he went to one of the professors, and he asked the professor, he said, "What books of the Bible do you think I should study in preparation?" He says, "Study the four Gospels." And the student said, "Well then, what books of the Bible should I study after that?" The professor said, "Study the four Gospels." Well, he says, "That's all right, but what should I study after that?" The professor said, "Go back and study the four Gospels." And I think it's a wonderful thing, well, about all of God's Word, of course, but particularly the Gospels that focuses on the ministry of Christ. And the more you read them, the more little things that you see that you missed before. I want you to look there at verse 43. "And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years had spent all of her living upon physicians, neither could be healed by any." How is she described? How is this person described? In verse 43, she's described as a woman. Just a woman. Just a face in the crowd. Just one woman with a great burden. And then whenever she touched the Lord's garment, the Lord said to the disciples, "Who touched me?" Disciples couldn't believe it. He says, "How can you say in all this multitude who touched you?" In other words, to the disciples, she was a nobody. They didn't know who she was. But then the Lord Jesus said in verse 46, Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me." First of all, she was only a woman, a face in the crowd. Then to the disciples, she was a nobody. But notice to Jesus Christ, she was a somebody. She was a somebody. And then the last we read of her in verse 48, "And he said unto her, Daughter, be of good comfort." Started out as just a woman. To the disciples, a nobody. But to Jesus Christ, a somebody. And when the Lord Jesus healed her, she became his daughter. She was related to him. And all who are in Christ are the sons and daughters of God. The person and her profession. Whenever she was known, we're told in verse 47, "And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately." There's her profession of faith. Her public profession of faith. She made it known to everyone what the Lord had done for her. That's what Paul tells us, Romans 10, verse 9. If we confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus, we are to confess Christ. And this woman wasted no time confessing Christ. She had a great story to tell. Wouldn't it be great if somebody went out of this meeting today with this same great story to tell? What Christ has done for you. It's the person, the profession, and the peace. The Lord said, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." She didn't have that peace before, but praise God she has it now. And only Christ can give this peace. "Peace I leave with you, my peace give I unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you." Tell me, do you have that peace? Do you know the one who's the Prince of Peace? Do you know the one who's able to give peace? "Not as the world giveth." Peace that only comes through Christ. What a wonderful story this is. not so much of the woman, but of the dear Savior, the wonderful Master and Lord that we have. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts. Let's bow in prayer. Our loving and our gracious Father, we come to Thee in the Savior's name. How we thank Thee, for the one who is the Prince of Peace, the one who is the great Physician, the one who is the Balm of Gilead, the one who is able to deliver from the guttermost to the uttermost. O gracious God, I pray that even as this woman came to Christ that day, drawn to Him, some soul be drawn to the Lord this day. Lord, for any who must leave, we pray that they will go with the blessing of the Triune God upon them. And for those of us, Lord, who will remain around the table, come and meet with us as we look afresh to Calvary.